Hi, folks. Justin McElroy here. Just want to say a quick apology in advance of this episode. You will notice that thanks to some technical issues, we do have some degraded audio quality in this edition of Quality Control. I am very sorry for this. And before you say it, the irony of lack of quality control in a show called Quality Control is not lost on me. So do not feel that you need to share that with me. Thank you. I appreciate it. I am sorry and hope you still like the episode.
My guest today is Sumit Sarkar, here to talk about his review of Destiny House of Wolves. My name is Justin McElroy, and you're listening to Polygon's Quality Control. Sumit, welcome to the program.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited that I'm going to be seeing you in a week or so.
Yes, that's very exciting indeed.
Finally get a hang going.
Absolutely, and it's much more exciting than going to Los Angeles.
Much, much more exciting than going to Los Angeles. Have you gone to sleep no more yet? I'm going to take you, like, every night. It's just going to be like, what's Sumit and Justin doing? They're going to sleep no more again.
We should do that, totally.
House of Wolves is the second expansion, if you loosely... I mean, this terminology is all messed up. DLC is a terrible term because you can't – it's like a bad noun. You can't really use it very well in any – it's a new DLC. Like, it just sounds gross.
Yeah.
It's the second expansion, though. Let's go with that. That works for me. Previous one was
The Dark Below.
House of Wolves. Give me, like, the broad overview. What am I getting for my House of Wolves money?
Well, you're getting a lot more than you got with Dark Below. So there's, three new Crucible maps, which is the same amount as you got with the Dark Below. You've got, maybe five or six new story missions, and there's obviously a whole bunch of, upgrades to and changes to the way that. I'm sorry, Justin. I got a thing in my throat.
God, get it out, Cement. You're dying. Someone help Sumit. Call 911. You okay? Was it a pretzel? You can tell me if it was a pretzel.
No, I actually have not had anything to eat today. But...
Oh, okay. Fasting. I get it. You wanted to fast for your episode of Quality Control to be in a perfect, clear mind state. I appreciate that.
I figured that I was going to just prevent that kind of thing from happening, but
no.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just start over from the...
Oh, this is all on the show, Sumit.
Oh, well great.
This is still the show.
Even better. I'm not familiar with the way we do it on Quality Control. But
the minimal editing is how we do it, mon frere. That is how we do it here.
All right. So as I was saying, you've got your three Crucible maps. You've got a whole host of changes and upgrades to just the way the game systems work. Weapons now have a max damage of the 365, which is higher than it used to be, and there's all these new upgrade systems. And new story missions. But the main new things, instead of a new raid, they have not added a third raid to the game with House of Wolves, but they've added these two new modes. One is called Trials of Osiris, which is very PvP-focused, three-on-three elimination, and the other one is called Prison of Elders, which is a wave-based horde mode, kind of like Firefight from Bungie's Halo games. And that's available on a bunch of different difficulties.
Now, Sumit, talk to me a little bit about the difficulty of, the difficulty of reviewing a piece of content in a fixed amount of time. So how long did it take you to before, like, from the time you started to the time you put your review up?
So the expansion came out on May 19th, and the review was posted on the 29th. So that's, 10 days, week and a half or so. I'll say up front that, I did not do every single thing in the expansion, but we basically felt that that was an adequate amount of time, and I had seen enough of the nature of – I'd seen enough of the expansion to get an idea of the nature of the content that was there. And so, that includes spending a lot of time in – Crucible and Trials of Osiris and Prison of Elders, and of course, you know, playing through the story missions and really getting a sense of how the way they changed the systems of the game, which is of course that's all changes that apply to everyone, whether or not you buy the expansion.
Right. But I guess what I'm interested in is how you differentiate between your enjoyment or not enjoyment of content as you're playing through it, and how you differentiate that or weigh it against the how future-proof it is, right? Because you're not just talking about the experience of playing through the content once. You're talking about how does this reinvigorate this game for however many months until the next time it gets a shot in the arm.
Yeah, and that's a great question, and it's a big deal with Destiny because the previous expansion, The Dark Below, was pretty lacking in both content and in changing the game of Destiny in any meaningful ways. And so, you know, having been playing Destiny since it launched in September, don't ask me why, but I have been. There's a lot of a lot of the people I play with kind of stopped playing somewhere around February, and that was after The Drop Below came out in December. And I think people had sort of realized that they were just not having a lot of fun, or that they had completed everything that there was to do in Destiny. And so I think looking at House of Wolves in comparison to The Dark Below, there's a lot more, I think, to do. That doesn't necessarily make Destiny a better game overall, because it still has a lot of the problems that have plagued it since launch. But looking to the future, the pieces that House of Wolves adds, I think, you know, they give it more longevity and prepare it for, as you were saying, the next content drop, which as far as we know is coming sometime this fall.
Do you think people are unfair in their expectations of Destiny and new Destiny content in expecting it to deliver the sort of like persistent gameplay value that a subscription-based game like World of Warcraft has? I think I've fallen into this trap too of if you're playing World of Warcraft or any other, you know, game where you're paying a fee monthly, you are, you know, there is always something that you could be doing. And Destiny, obviously, you're paying for chunks of content, but you're not paying month to month. So do you think that people sort of unfairly or fairly expect Destiny to always have something for them to do, even though they're not paying to play Destiny every month?
So I think a lot of different elements factor into people's perception of Destiny's value and of how good it is. So for one thing, there's all the pre-launch hype. You know, this was being pitched by Bungie and Activision as like the best thing since sliced bread, and sliced bread is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Carb it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they were promising a ton with Destiny, and they were saying, you know, this is the future of video games, and this is going to be the next big thing. And I think when it came out, people sort of found it pretty shallow, the core experience of Destiny. And they raced through the content that was available. And then when The Dark Below came out in December, you know, it didn't add all that much more. And certainly the price is another factor here. So the game is $60, and then each expansion has been $20, although, you know, you could buy the expansion pass, which covers both, for $35. And when you look at the comparison of what's available in Destiny versus what's available in something where you pay like $10 or $15 a month, you know, there's not like that kind of content that's there to keep you playing over and over, which, you know, maybe makes sense because, again, you, as you were saying, you're not paying that subscription. But players' issues with Destiny go far beyond any sort of complaints about how much is there, and really drill down much further into the core systems. And I think that's why House of Wolves, for me, was was a positive in some ways for Destiny in terms of bringing more than to the table than the Dark Below did. But at the same time, I sort of was able to recognize, as a lot of my friends who play Destiny did, that there are fundamental issues with the game that it doesn't seem like Bungie can do much about until sort of Destiny 2 comes out. And that's the issue with comparing it to something like an MMO, you know, where maybe the systems and the gameplay stuff is there from the beginning. It's not necessarily an issue of content, or that's part of it, but it is also the issue of the quality of the game itself.
Excellent. Well, Submit, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with some reader questions. Today's episode of Quality Control is brought to you by Loot Crate. Are you a geek, gamer, or pop culture nerd? Then Loot Crate is the subscription box for you. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items of gamer and pop culture licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Make sure to head over to lootcrate.com/control and enter code CONTROL, and you can save $3 on any new subscription. Every month, there's a different theme, and you're guaranteed $40 or more worth of items, all curated around that theme. Previous crates have included items from franchises like Star Wars, Marvel, Walking Dead, Legend of Zelda, and more. This month, Loot Crate invites you to join the Cyber Revolution with an assortment of cool tech-themed collectibles from a wide array of awesome franchises. They're featuring exclusive items from Terminator Genisys, Borderlands 2, and more, including an exclusive t-shirt you won't find anywhere else. Did we mention they ship to over 13 different countries, too? You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. So it's over. So go to lootcrate.com/control and enter code CONTROL to save $3 on your new subscription today. Okay, our first question that we have comes from Zoe K. She said, I guess I'd ask, as I enjoyed the combat, so she's been climbing that ladder. She got through the first rung of Destiny combat content, but hasn't had much reason to play since around November. Does the expansion give a lot of reason for coming back?
Well, as I was saying earlier, there are a lot of changes to the underlying systems of Destiny with House of Wolves that apply even if you didn't buy the expansion. So if you were tired of doing what you were doing in vanilla Destiny back in November, then, even if you don't want to spend the $20 on this expansion, you're going to be able to do things like upgrade your weapons to higher damage values and upgrade your armor and things like that. So there is some value here for people who don't buy the expansion. Now, if you do buy the expansion, what you're looking at is the two main modes that give you a lot to do over time, you know, that aren't tied to playing the same thing over and over again, like the story missions are. You know, that's Prison of Elders and Trials of Osiris, where you have these experiences that change every time, every week. You know, Trials of Osiris is, as I was saying, 3-on-3 competitive multiplayer, but they pick a new map every week. It only runs from I think Friday to Tuesday,
right.
And then Prison of Elders. They also change up the challenges with the weekly reset, and so, you know, there's different stuff to do there. Having said that, maybe you're not into PvP. You know, maybe you're not someone who's gonna get on your headset and get down with the bros, like the Call of Duty players, and swear into your microphone. And maybe Trials of Osiris isn't of interest to you because of that. And maybe Prison of Elders won't offer much because there are issues with that in Trials of Osiris, namely that you still can't do matchmaking on the higher level. You can't do matchmaking in Trials of Osiris at all, and you can't do matchmaking on anything above level 28 in Prison of Elders. And so if our friend Zoe doesn't have a regular group of high-level Destiny-playing friends, then she's not going to be able to experience the best of what House of Wolves has to offer. And so that's something I mentioned in my review. I think that it's still crazy that Bungie doesn't offer matchmaking, at least as an option.
Question from Jasper. Is there a noticeable improvement in voice acting and storytelling in the expansion?
Yes, absolutely. I touched on that in my review. A lot of players complained about the original game and Dinklebot and everything. And the House of Wolves expansion introduces two new characters in the Reef, which is a new social space akin to the Tower. You've got Petra Venge, who is this queen's emissary. She's one of the Awoken. And then you've got this guy who really steals the show for me, Varix the Loyal, who is a fallen vandal who also hangs out in the Reef. And the two of them do a lot of voiceover guiding through the story missions in Destiny. And I thought Eris Morn in The Dark Below did a better job than the voice actors in the original game. But here, I think Varix and Petra Venge are sort of are Destiny's best written, best voice characters. Petra has this like great sort of can-do attitude, and she's just like really excited to help you with field work, as she puts it. And Varix, like, whoever they got to do the voice and whatever kind of modulation they're doing to it is just terrific. He's got this kind of sly, like, ironic humor to him almost. And he just, like, he has this, like, croak that he speaks in that's really, like, unsettling, but also adds to the sort of underlying humor. It's great, and the two of them are awesome.
Yeah, I don't think you can overstate the value also. Something that is, like, I'm fairly certain new to this expansion, but like should be so obvious is having two characters talking to each other over your headset, like actually making there be dialogue, because like 99.9% of the stuff in the spoken word in Destiny is one person barking out, you know, orders or warnings or whatever to the ether. Like they're not talking to, I mean, they are theoretically talking to your guardian, but your guardian doesn't chooses his or her moments to speak very carefully, which is right. To say three cutscenes or something. Like, so it's really nice, I think, to have two characters actually talking to each other, like, which should be obvious, but it's like such a big, like it makes it so much more engaging.
Yeah, and another related factor is that Bungie seems to have learned from its mistakes and kind of toned down the level of just sci-fi gobbledygook that's in the dialogue from these characters. They do a much better job of outlining, you know, your objectives, which are clearer also. The story missions are all unified by this sort of one task that you have. And there's not nearly as much of Destiny's impenetrable lore in their dialogue.
Reese wants to know if you think that Prison of Elders is a better or worse substitute for a new raid. Given your druthers, would you have preferred, you know, a new raid in the game versus Prison of Elders?
That's a tough question. A lot of people thought that Crota's End, the new raid that they added with the Dark Below, was far inferior to the Vault of Glass, the raid in the original game. And so it's hard to say. I mean, if they could have added a raid that was as good as the Vault of Glass or better, people would have loved that, because they're still playing the Vault of Glass now. Maybe they're doing it on hard mode, but it's not something that has been rendered obsolete by the two expansions in the past 8.5 months.
Well, in a gear sense, it has, right?
Well, no.
Not anymore. So this is rectified, right?
Yeah. So that's what I was saying earlier to Zoe's question about upgrading your weapons. All the legendary and exotic weapons from the original game, including your raid weapons, stuff like Fatebringer and Vexmythoclast, now have new relevance because you can upgrade them to a new damage level. And so it's not like you just have to discard them. So I also really like Prison of Elders. You know, this kind of hard mode is something that Bungie's done before and has done very well. There are problems with the higher level challenges in their design. I think they're just unfair in some parts. But it is really satisfying to go through with two of your buddies and just take down waves and waves of these enemies, because it really requires you to strategize. They throw in a lot of like the skulls that were in Halo and also are in Destiny, like in the Nightfall, that these gameplay modifiers that force you to think on your feet and really work with your teammates. And of course that's why Bungie would argue that they don't want to implement matchmaking here. But anyway, I really like Prison of Elders a lot. I also would really enjoy a new raid, but only if it were as good as the Vault of Glass, or at least better than Crota's End.
One last question for you, Submit, from Jeff. I've yet to jump into Destiny. With their MMO model, do I wait till Destiny 2 with the hopes that I have access to all the older content with my one purchase? Will that be a thing? Will anyone still be playing then? What, I guess the broader question here is now a good time to jump into Destiny? I will say from my own experience to give you a little time to percolate that, from my own experience, I didn't start playing until The Dark Below was released. And I found that in doing so, there was a lot of, like, I definitely got my money's worth before the sort of, like, grind fatigue set in, I felt like. Like, it was really, there's a ton to do, and it's, a lot of the rough edges have now been worn off. I felt like that was a really satisfying way to play the game. What do you think? Is this a good time to play Destiny, or should people still hold off?
I would say that this is a good time to jump in because, as you mentioned, there's a lot more to do now than there was at launch. Prison of Elders and Trials of Osiris are these open-ended modes that aren't reliant on recycling existing content. At the same time, as I was saying earlier, there are still problems with the Destiny experience that I don't see. You know, even another content drop like one that's coming in this fall addressing. So what I would say to people who haven't jumped in yet but are thinking of doing so is that, you know, I've seen sales on the original Destiny game, you know, as low as like $40 or even lower. I think it was at $40 like around when House of Wolves launched. So I would say, you know, maybe get the original game and see how you feel about going through it now. And then if you like it, then maybe get the expansion pass and that way you have that much more to do. But if you maybe find yourself running through all of the content that's available in the original game and feeling that you're kind of done, then I wouldn't spend the additional $35 on the expansion.
Yeah, just don't be surprised if you have a hard time getting friends to play with you if you're taking that route, because they will probably be playing content from one of the expansions.
That's true, but at the same time, I've also had a lot of friends who play Destiny who are pretty willing to shepherd people through the earlier stuff. I know your friend and mine, Russ Frushtick, was recently trying to rank up an alt, and people were helping him, just to grind through the story in the early going, just because that stuff is so easy for people who are high level players now, and also just because it's fun to hop on Destiny and just get in party chat with your buddies while you're shooting aliens on Mars.
Cool. Well, Submit, thank you so much for your time. I sure appreciate you. And thanks to the folks for listening. One more time, I want to remind you about Loot Crate. Thanks to them, it is a subscription box for geek, gamer, nerd, and all of us. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items of gamer and pop culture licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. So make sure you head over to lootcrate.com/control and enter code control to save $3 on any new subscription. Remember, you only have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. When the cutoff happens, that's it. That's your only shot. So right now, go to lootcrate.com/control and enter code control to save $3 on your new subscription today. Submit, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to folks for listening. Until the next time we have a game to talk about, I'm Justin McElroy, and thank you for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.